Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that as believers, we need to constantly experience God.
Amen.
Amen? I mean, and in so many areas of our life, we experience God and it passes us right by. Hello? You know? And I was just led on my heart today to talk about experiencing God. And just so that as a reminder and a reflection of what God is doing in our life so that we don't miss what He's really doing. You know, because Christ is simplicity and we try to make it so complicated. You know, if we don't see lightning bolts and earthquakes, frogs jumping upside down, you know, I mean, if we don't see things that are just, we don't believe, then, God, where's God? You know, but that's not true. Because there is a simplicity of Christ in experiencing God in an everyday walk as a believer. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. Would you turn to Psalm 24? Psalm 24. Hallelujah. Everybody can hear me all right, right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you guys hear it back there? Okay. Hallelujah. Can you hear it now? Yeah, you can hear it now. Praise God, man. We, you know, we're moving up there.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, Psalm 24. In verse 1, glory to God. Experiencing God. In verse 1 through 6, let's read it together. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek Him, who seek Your face. Now, he's talking about a desire to have an experience. Is everybody with me? He's talking about a desire to have an experience. Every one of us has a desire to have an experience with God in some way or some form. Now we have an expectation of the desire we would like to have the experience with God, but it determines in how He chooses to have the experience with me and you is individual in every way. You cannot go by somebody else's experience.
Amen.
It can give you encourage to go get an experience, but you can't go by somebody else's experiences. Nobody can go by my experience. It can encourage others that God is the God that brings the experience or is available to them, but nobody can walk by my experience. Everybody must walk by his own experience and experiences. Is everybody with me? Because we want to continually walk in experiencing God in every area. But like I said, we make it so difficult that if it doesn't go according to the form and regulate, you know, some of us, hold on now, okay? I was one. I mean, we've seen so many Moses movies and we've seen so many flicks on TV that we expect these manifestations for us. And I'm not saying it can't happen. But what I'm saying is if it doesn't happen the way we expect it to happen, then we don't believe we're experiencing God. And that's not true. Because God is, in His infinite, mighty wisdom towards me and you, is simple. That's why the Bible says that confusion is not of God. Amen? Okay. Hallelujah. So we have a desire to experience God and to walk with Him, because walking with God is an experience in itself, isn't it? And an everyday thing. Would you turn to Psalm 62? So in true reality, those who desire to experience God have an experience in some way or another and are continued walking in an experience, and their result is they walk in the Spirit because of the experience. Is everybody with me? Okay. In Psalm 62 in verse 1, what does it say? Truly my soul silently waits for God. For him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Now, one of the first experiences that you and I encounter with God is salvation. That's one of the first experiences we truly encounter with God as an individual. We've seen other people have their experiences. You could have gone to a service and seen someone get slam dunked in the Holy Ghost, get healed. But that experience wasn't for you. It was for someone else. And of course, the greatest miracle that there is salvation. The greatest experience that we could have is the seed of God imparted and implanted in me and you. Amen? So we see that the first experience that we are granted is salvation. Now, you'll notice that it says, truly my soul silently waits for God. All experiences are a result of waiting for God. All experiences. If you're not waiting for God, you won't get it. The experiences will bypass you. You'll miss God. In fact, many of Israel missed God. They were waiting for a Messiah, but they had an expectation of what he was supposed to look like. White Rolls Royce, machine guns, and, you know, and all the other stuff. They were expecting him to come there and just kick butt and then plant his flag, and that was it. But he came in a different way, didn't he? He came in another experience. He came to be an experience so that man could actually live in the experience on a continuous basis by receiving him as Lord and Savior and accepting his Spirit. But they missed the visitation of God. They actually missed the experience, but not all of them did, or else we wouldn't have the word today, would we? Amen? So every experience that manifests itself in some way or another is actually a result of waiting on God. Everybody understand that? Many of us waited. I waited a long time. I cried out for 3 years to God. Didn't know who he was. Cried out for 3 years, God help me, God help me. Wanted to die. Finally, he answered my prayer. But he had to get me in position to answer it. Some of our experiences must be positional. Has everybody got it? They must be positional so that we can get the experience of God. Now, experiences come in many different ways. But some of them are so simple, we don't realize it's even God. In Matthew 7. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Blessed be his holy name. Matthew chapter 7. The Lord is faithful. Matthew 7 and 7. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Ask, and it will be given to you. Now, wait a minute. I want you to look at something here. It says, ask, and it will be given to you. The problem is everyone asks, they go, okay, Lord, this is what I need. They expect it right then and there. And it doesn't come the way they want, then they don't expect anymore. That's why it says, ask and it will be given to you, right? Didn't tell you when. Here's the part two. Seek and you will find it. Didn't tell you when. Knock And it'll be open to you. Ooh. So you've got to get to a place where you're actually tangibly knocking. And the experience is waiting at the door. Is everybody with me? So we see here that there's a waiting process here. After you ask, there's a waiting process. Now you begin to seek. In other words, you haven't given up yet. Someone who seeks has not given up after they've asked. Right? And that's a waiting process. And then the Lord brings the experience right to your door. And that's when you knock. And he says, what? And what? And it'll be open to you. In verse 8, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks, it will be what? Open. And that's where the experience is manifested, in some way or another. We all end up at the door. The door is where experiences are. Experiences always promote and maintain fellowship with the Lord. Watch this. Go to Revelation 3. I'll repeat that in a second. The door is where experiences are. In Revelation chapter 3. Now remember, we just said we ask, it's given. We seek, we'll find, we knock, and the door shall be opened. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, behold, I stand at the what?
Door
and knock. If anyone hears my what? And opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with... Wow, that's an experience in itself. Isn't it? That's an experience in itself. But you know what? We're waiting for lightning bolts, earthquakes. You know how sometimes you can tell you've just had experiences with God? Look at yesterday.
Amen.
Or the day before. Or look back a week ago.
Hallelujah.
And where you were and where you are now.
Amen.
You've been experiencing God the whole time and didn't even realize it. You know? You know, because he does, you know, I shared this before, that God works with me and you surgically. The problem is we're awake. Surgically. He's the only physician that cuts you while you're awake. You know? But the thing is he also heals you while you're awake. He delivers you. I mean, you know, many of us have been delivered. That was an experience in itself. We didn't all manifest and all this stuff happened to us. All of a sudden, we were just free. We just experienced God and didn't even realize it. It was a simple way. Simple way, you know. But you know what? So we can't just throw aside that we're here right now because we've experienced God and we have a desire still to continue experiencing Him. Everyone is in this room because they desire to experience more of God.
Amen.
And you wouldn't be here if you hadn't already experienced Him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we see these experiences which are at the door, amen, always promotes and maintains fellowship in the Spirit. Every time you get an experience, or you get a revelation of an experience, it brings you encouragement, doesn't it? You know, one of the great things is answered prayer.
Amen.
You know, when God answers your prayer, it's like, whoa, He really does listen. I really do have fun. He really does know me. Oh, that's an experience in itself.
Amen.
You know? Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Hallelujah. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Experiencing God. You know, the devil always likes to do this to you. Well, look at what God has done for that person. Look at all the experiences that person has, and he hasn't given you any. That's the voice of the stranger. Hello? Because the greatest experience you'll ever get is the first one, called salvation. The second one is when Jesus and you meet. Is everybody with me? And of course the third one is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound what? More and more. Just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to what? You know, every experience causes us to want to walk upright and please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your what? Every experience brings more sanctification. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to what? Possess his own vessel. In sanctification and in honor. Not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead quiet life, to mind your own beeswax, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, that you may lack nothing. Every experience results in a desire to walk upright and please God in sanctification, in dominion over your members, and with increasing love. Everybody got it? Every experience also results in a desire to walk upright and please God. In sanctification, which means separated from the world. In dominion, which means dominion over your members. And with increasing love for one another. Amen? Hallelujah. Acts 9. Acts chapter 9. Glory, hallelujah. How many of y'all have a desire to walk upright with God?
Hallelujah.
Do you know why? You've had an experience. And you didn't even know it. Acts 9, in verse 3. And we know this is about Saul, who was out killing Christians. And it says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Every experience brings revelation of God's love and character. You know, God could have killed Saul for all the stuff he was doing. But he revealed himself to him. Showed him his love and a part of his character. Every experience with God reveals his love and his character. His love and his character. You know, the Bible says, count it all joy through trials and tribulations, right? You know why? These trials and tribulations allow us to experience God. They allow us to experience God. It allows me and you to, it says, he delivers us out of all our troubles, you know, if we'll let him. Every one of us has experienced God every day of our life. There's been some sort of experience of God. But what happens is if we begin to walk out of the Spirit and try to look more in the flesh instead of the Spirit, we begin to miss the experiences that God has given us. And we become dull, unsensitive, not looking at the other side, but always getting caught up in our circumstance. Because God allows circumstances to reveal himself, and that brings another experience. You know, how many times we get in trouble, we call out in the name of the Lord, and we get rescued. You know, how many times have you been rescued and just blew it off? Like, oh, okay. You know? How many times did you know that there was something that you needed and it came right to you? I was like, wow, cool. That was an experience from God. Every day, God is allowing me and you to experience his love and his character. Every single day. One of the great experiences you and I could have is the baptism of the Holy Spirit also, isn't it? When we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, we experience God. We start praying in tongues. Man, let me tell you, after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I wanted that baptism again. I wanted it over and over and over. So every time I prayed in tongues, I realized I was experiencing God. Every day I pray in tongues, I'm experiencing God. The gifts allow you to experience God. See, but we get so used to, well, I'm praying in tongues. Yeah, I better pray in tongues. Man, we're experiencing God. But we take it for granted. We just shrug it aside. How many times did you need something, a financial? Or you needed a job? Whatever it is. And it comes through. We just say, oh, thank you, Lord. But we don't realize that we just experience God's love and character. Amen? And unfortunately, if we keep going that way, we get into a circumstance till we have to wait to experience his love and character because we've lost sight of our first love. Amen? So we can get ourselves into a circumstance that we got dull. And we were just going, walking in the flesh, going. And God's trying to bring something to us, and we go, no, that can't be God. Well, I'm waiting on God, and we're not even waiting on God. We're just going. Something will come across your path, oh, that looks good. And you'll accept it as God, and it's not. It's just a trap. And that happens all the time. Because the devil knows what you need too. But if you're experiencing God and his love and his character, you're knowing what is of God and what's not. And when you don't know, you don't bite it and choose to swallow it and then say, oh, that's not God, and try and vomit it up. It's too late then. That's why we're not supposed to take everything. He says, test all things. Why? Because we want to experience God, not darkness. We've had enough experience with that. Saul had an experience here. It changed his life, didn't it? Totally changed his life. He experienced God's love and character. First words out of his mouth was, Lord, what do you want me to do? Right? He had a change of heart. He changed a whole new life. You know what he did? He stopped trying to work on his own. See, Saul was one who was building knowledge upon knowledge. Didn't have experience. And Saul had never had an experience with God where some of the other ones did. Talked about Simeon and some of the other ones that had experienced Ananias. In fact, Ananias was one that went and prayed for Saul, didn't he?
Yeah.
So many of them had experiences, but Saul didn't. But he was still running on the letter, wasn't he? And that's all he was doing, was building knowledge upon knowledge and never having an experience. Or he might have had an experience once that caused him to get involved in following God, but then he just threw that experience aside. And many of us have done that. David cried out, "Lord, I remember your wonderful works." See, David allowed the Spirit to bring him to the places of remembrance of what God had done for him. See, he remembered all the experiences God gave him. And it sustained him for the next experience. It kept him till the next experience happened in his life. But when we grumble and complain, we get dull, hard-hearted, blinded, deaf. And we lose sight of the experiences God has given us already. And we're so busy looking for another one that it's already passed us by. Oh, hallelujah. Should we go further?
Amen.
Acts 4. Acts chapter 4. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 4. And verse 13. Would you read it with me? "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with, they had an experience with Jesus." Here are dudes that were uneducated. Here are the Pharisees and Sadducees. They're all out there going, "Man, these guys we see fishing every day, grumbling and complaining that they're not catching enough fish. They drink and party and all this other stuff and try to cheat the tax collectors." And they're looking at them going, "Man, they're uneducated. But they know the Word." They see, they weren't just hearing the Word, they were seeing the Word. And they've been with Jesus because they had an experience. And the Pharisees and Sadducees didn't like it at all. It irritated them, caused them the jealousy. But see, your experience allows people to know that you've been with Jesus. You know, sometimes you don't realize what, you know, the other day I came home. I just came from service at the jail. And the Holy Spirit was just doing all kinds of stuff as He usually does. And gave us a teaching, led us from one thing to another. And the presence of God was very sweet. And I came and sat down. I sat down next to Mom. And all of a sudden she started going, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, you don't feel that?" And I just said a couple words. And it was the presence of God that was on me from the service. But you got to understand, I saw the experience. I was watching everybody else get the experience, what the Spirit was saying through me, but didn't realize I was getting the experience myself. And when I missed it myself. And I came home and sat near Mom, and she was going, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." Because the presence of God that was still on me from being in the service. But you got to understand, I didn't even realize it. I didn't realize it. I saw other people and stuff like that in the service and how the Spirit was doing all kinds of things and whatever, but I didn't even realize it myself. So I got to see it with Mom. Hallelujah. See, every experience brings... Every experience brings a revelation of God's love and character and also changes your character. Does everybody get it? Every experience that brings God's love and his character begins to change your character. Saul is no longer the same man. Every one of us that's in here is no longer the same person that we used to be. Even if we choose to try not to be the same, to try and go back the old ways, we're still not the same. Miserable, as a matter of fact. You know, we have enough of God that we try and run from God, but we know we can't because our inner has been birthed once already. And now we know we're carrying this character on the outside that's tormenting. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Hallelujah. You know, we experience God every morning we wake up. Look out your front door. It says the earth is God's. See, we experience God in his own creation. I remember one day I was floating in the pool, and I was talking to the Lord, and I heard this thunk. And I saw this squirrel going down a tree. And I knew that something had fallen there, and it must have been something for him to eat. I don't know. So I went over there, and there was this bird. And there's this blue bird. Maybe a blue jay, I don't know. And his head was on that side, and he was, you know, tongue hanging out and stuff. And I picked this bird up, and I said, Lord, I don't know why. I mean, I never picked up a dead bird. And I said, Lord, I don't know why, but I love this bird. I'm thinking, my head is going, what are you, crazy guy? And I'm listening to the words that are coming out of my mouth, but my heart was speaking my heart was saying, I love this bird. And I said, Lord, would you please heal this bird? It flew out of my hand.
Hallelujah.
I thought, whoa, I experienced God. I never forgot that, man. Try to raise the animals from the dead, you know. Praise God. I was all excited because I experienced God. It changed me.
Amen.
Changed me. You know, God revealed himself through his creation. When I got off the plane, my wife called me an alien. She never saw this new creation. She experienced something that a person or part of the creation experienced with God. She was poking me, going, you're an alien. What happened to you? I experienced God.
Amen.
Anybody who has an experience with God changes. Truly an experience, a true experience with God changes you. Not an puffed up imagination. They don't change you. A true experience with God changes you. Where were we? 1 Corinthians 4. Okay. Now, please, don't come home with a bunch of dead birds. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm sorry, 4 and 5. Okay, we're going to have a raising the bird tonight. We're going to experience God's love, right? In verse 4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you are enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Ooh. We are... God is faithful, who also will confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it says, so that you come short. Did I read that?
No.
Man, I skipped a bunch of stuff, didn't I? Even, hallelujah, let's start at verse 6. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short of what? No gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's another experience, isn't it? Who will, hallelujah, also confirm you to the end, that you may be what? Blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. So we see we're waiting for a revelation, aren't we? The ultimate revelation and the revealing of Him. See, you and I are called in the fellowship with the Son. Every one of us has been called in fellowship with the Son. We are called in the fellowship of the Son. In other words, you've been called to have an experience with God. And not just one, but a continuous experience. Fellowshipping with the King of Glory and the Creator, if you're not fellowshipping with Him, you're not going to have experiences. If you're not getting up in the morning and going after Him, you won't get experiences. There are many people who get complacent and comfortable, and they think God is working on their behalf. Now they got a job, they got this, they got that, and they're running to the world for fulfillment. They're looking for the world to bring them an experience, and the world is bringing them an experience. But it's not from God. And they get dull of hearing, hard-hearted, and they miss God. And their fruits show it. Hallelujah. Now, we are called into fellowship with Jesus Christ. Amen. And some of it is personal and some of it is corporately, isn't it? I mean, when we come together, we hear testimonies of certain things that are happening. We're hearing experiences and seeing experiences. In other words, we see somebody change. We just saw an experience of God. We see somebody come in here who's all messed up. 2 days later or a day later, they're like smiling and, wow, you just saw an experience. Amen. Amen. That experience you just saw brings you encouragement to want an experience yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, and sometimes, I'm going to bring this a little bit more. Sometimes God will use others to confirm your experience. Does everybody hear that? Sometimes God will use others to confirm your experience with God. Something will happen with you and you're wondering, man, was that God? Next thing you know, something will happen. Somebody will tell you, man, I just experienced God. You'll get a dream, whatever it may be, you know. Man, that was God. That was God. But sometimes we just roll it over and then, okay, let's go on. And we don't realize, man, we just had an experience with God. Psalm 16. Hallelujah.
Glory
to God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Psalm 16 in verse 11. Would you read it with me? You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In his presence is an experience. In his presence is an experience. God's presence always brings an experience. And also says what? That he will show me the path of life. He will always bring his direction in these experiences too.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? You know, we can experience God in His creation, in His nature, right? We can experience God in the gifts of the Spirit and manifestations. dreams and visions through his word and revelations and so forth. But the world is going to experience God in his wrath. Think about that. Everyone's going to experience God at some time. It's either be in his wrath or in his salvation. Hallelujah. Would you please turn to Hebrews 13? No. Sorry. Luke 19. Sometimes I can't read my own writing. I have to interpret it. Luke 19. Luke 19. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke 19. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, not just a normal one. He was a chief one. And he was rich. Should have been. And he sought to see who Jesus was. Sounds like he's asking and seeking, huh?
Yeah.
But could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Here was a man that was willing to press in and wait. Never even met him. He heard about everybody else's experiences. And he was willing to still press in and wait. And he was wealthy. See, he didn't need anything. He didn't lack anything. But God was drawing him. And he didn't resist the draw. So he felt the call, and he had to press in. He even had to climb a tree. God asks us to do strange things to get experiences sometimes. And when Jesus came to the place, in verse 5, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Now he knew him. It's a revelation. It's an experience when God, come on, think about it. Here he is up in a tree, and the Lord is walking, and he calls his name. You don't think he just had an experience with God?
Amen.
He did.
Amen.
Big time.
Amen.
So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold.
Amen.
Zacchaeus had an experience. Turned him around completely. Was willing to finance the kingdom of God now. You know, that's all he did was he pressed in and he waited. And Jesus said to them, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Praise God. Pressed in and waited. Most experiences will be in circumstances or events in our life and will cause a heart change so that we'll want to walk with the Lord. You know, even at our jobs and so forth, there's going to be times when there are circumstances that are going to arouse to where we need God.
Amen.
Lord, I need you.
Amen.
And, you know, sometimes it's so subtle that the devil will try and cause you to miss the experience with God. It's so subtle. They might hire a new person that day. That might be able to show you certain things or whatever that you know you need to have, but you didn't realize you needed it until later. Sometimes the experiences don't come alive in us until after it's passed and we look behind us and go, man, all those experiences. You know what? You and I can sit in this room and we could probably talk all night and all the experiences that we had with God, even when we were unbelievers.
Amen.
When God was revealing himself to me and you, when we were unbelievers, when he was trying to get us in a position so that we would have the experience. But we just shrug it off sometimes, you know. Hebrews 13. Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews 13 and verse 16. Is everybody there? But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is what?
Well
pleased. You know what happens when we get an experience with God? We want to please him. We want to please him. Because we get a change of heart. Now we truly want to please him, don't we? Hallelujah. Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verse 7. Oh, every experience changes the heart and wants us to please him. One of the problem is we don't realize we just had an experience. In verse 7. Oh, I'm sorry, that's Proverbs 16.
That one was good.
No. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 7. Hallelujah. We'll get through this, believe me.
We're having
an experience right now. Proverbs 16, verse 7. I'm glad my wife is getting revelation, praise God. Hallelujah. When a man's way pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. All glory to God. Hallelujah. So even your enemies will be at peace with you. Or maybe they just can't get a piece of you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's try Psalms 89. Psalm 89. Oh, the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Hallelujah.
And in his presence is fullness of joy. See, so when you're joyful, you're experiencing God. Because you're in his presence. Psalm 89, verse 15. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Let me tell you something. Your countenance changes. You change. Countenance changes. Experiencing God brings more light. Now, light is truth. Truth is freedom. Freedom is the Spirit, and the Spirit is life. Let me go back on that. Light is truth. The Word says it's truth that frees us. Truth is freedom, isn't it? It says that where the Spirit of the Lord is freedom, right? So we have light is truth. Truth is freedom. Freedom is the Spirit. And the Spirit is life. And it starts all over again. Because we know that God is light. Isn't he? So light is truth. Truth is freedom. Freedom is the Spirit, and the Spirit is life. Life. L-I-F-E. Life. So it says, blessed are people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In other words, they're walking in the light, they're walking in freedom, and they're walking in life, and they're walking in truth. Why? Because they've had an experience with God. And a continuous experience. And John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 30 to 40. Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing. I can of myself do nothing. And we need to say that I can do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has bore witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his what?
Light.
Light. Why? Because John had revelation. He had experienced God. But I have a greater witness than John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me, who is the true light. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. Why? Because they never experienced God. But you do not have this word abiding in you because whom he sent, him you do not believe because they have not experienced God. Or whatever experience they had put aside. He says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. So he's saying, listen, you're looking for me in the letter. But you're not willing to seek me to have the experience. Watch. But you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. Now, we just talked about that, didn't we? We said that in the end result, the Spirit is what?
Life.
Life. Why? Because he's the one that brings the experience. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. So we must go back to that place again where he says, ask, seek, knock. Ask and wait. Continue to seek and wait. Knock, and the experience is waiting for you every time. The problem is there are little experiences and there are larger experiences. We're allowing the little ones to pass us by while we're looking for the bigger ones. And if we'll take in the little ones, it's like putting a pint of gas in your car when you're going to put 10 gallons in and you're looking at the 10 gallons. But you're not realizing that that pint of gas is getting you to the 10 gallons. Is everybody with me? And those little experiences are going to keep you going, and all of a sudden there's a big one. That's why you and I have mountaintop experiences. Right? But it's in the valley where we're learning. You're not learning by your mountaintop experiences. You don't learn up there. You're getting a rust. so you can go back to learning again. So Jesus told them, he says, listen, you search the scriptures that testify of me, thinking you have eternal life. What they were putting was knowledge upon knowledge with no experience. Knowledge upon knowledge and no experience. That's what the Lord said, always learning and never coming to the truth, because the truth is what makes you free, doesn't it? He said, but you won't come to me and get an experience that you can have eternal life. In other words, everyone must have their own experience, right? Is everybody all right?
Amen.
So everybody must come to him. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Is everybody there?
Amen.
In verse 2 through 7. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. One of the problems that people look at this, they categorize themselves, okay, if I'm not under every one of these categories, I'm all right. No, if you're under one of them, you're not all right.
Amen.
If you're under one of them, you're not all right. Does everybody get it? For this is a sort, for of this sort are those who creep into true ministries and make captives of gullible people, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always what?
Learning
and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So what are they doing? They're putting knowledge upon knowledge and never experiencing. Knowledge upon knowledge. And it's actually bringing them into bondage than freeing them. Because truth is what frees you. Now let me explain something. The Lord put on my heart today about even the Word of God. Now Paul had to deal with his people in certain areas because some of them were immature. The gifts were stated for immaturity. They were labeled for immaturity. Does everybody understand that? Because his people were going wild. Everybody was doing this. Paul had to bring order because of their immatureness in the Spirit. So what did he do? He labeled the gifts, didn't he? He said, this is the... Believe me, when a gift manifests, I don't try to go find out whether it was a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or a prop. Who cares? I don't care personally. I mean, I'm not trying to find a label. I just want to declare what the Lord wants me to declare, whether it was a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, or a prophecy, so that someone can get free or get counsel, correction, and direction.
Amen.
So that their life can be a witness of the power and the love of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
But Paul had to label them because his people were immature. He even set forth the courses. Now listen, don't get bonkers on me. Now listen to this. Even the offices of the body of Christ are labeled. They're all labeled. You know, you never saw any, I never saw them say, hey, Pastor Paul, or Apostle Paul, or, you know what I'm saying? Paul was, Paul moved in all the gifts, didn't he? He was a prophet, he fulfilled every one of us in this room better have a heart of a pastor. Because Jesus is the shepherd. And every one of his children better have a heart of a shepherd. And that's what the word pastor means. Because God is going to have you shepherd whether it's 2 people, 3 people, 4 people, 10 people, or 20 people. I don't care if you're an evangelist, a prophet, or whatever. God gives all of his children a heart to shepherd. All of his children. Is everybody with me? No matter who you are. Paul said, I became many things that some could be saved. That's why Paul was an apostle. That's why he was a prophet. That's why he was a pastor. He was an evangelist. The word tells us that the fivefold ministry of the body of Christ was so that it could edify and teach the whole body and draw them in. Jesus told us to disciple them. Does everybody understand that? Or to disciple them. Well, let me tell you, you're not going to disciple someone unless you have a heart of a shepherd.
Amen.
And all of us are the offspring of the true shepherd. So every one of us in our heart has the heart of a shepherd. That's the heart of a pastor. It doesn't mean that you're going to flock up. It doesn't, but it will mean that because you're his offspring, you're going to shepherd somebody or so many people, whatever it is. Does everybody understand that? But Paul had to label it to put things in order. He had to label this. But so many people are going out, hi, I'm a prophet. I'm a this, I'm a that. You know, they're exalting their office instead of Christ. You know, I get letters sometimes that says reverence of the man. I can't stand that. I can't stand it. It turns my stomach. There's only one reverend, and that's Jesus. I know, when somebody calls me, hi, I'm Reverend such and such, I'm like, man, I'm going to hang right up. You know, come on, man, get real. We're all children of the Most High God. Nobody's better than nobody. We're all one in the Spirit. We are called to be shepherds. Whether we're going to go out and bring them in, whether we're going to go out, whatever we're going to do, every one of us is called to fulfill the will of God, expand His kingdom, and bring glory to Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. Whatever office you're going to fulfill. You could be fulfilling an office right now, but you haven't labeled it. Do you understand that? People are more wanting labels than anything, and that's for immaturity. And that's why Paul did that. Is everybody with me? You know, Brother Rick Joyner, he never proclaims himself as a great prophet. In fact, he's a pastor. But he does prophetic, and he is a powerful man. He's one of the true prophets of the body of Christ. But he never promotes himself as prophet. Does everybody get it? Because he's not exalting himself or his office, he's exalting Jesus. That's how you know whether they're real or not. And believe me, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. Don't let the devil deceive you or steal your experience because something's been labeled and God wants you to do something else that you can't. You believe you can't fulfill it because you've been called to do something. That's just plumb ridiculous. That's immaturity. Does everybody understand that? And it's legalism and it's called religion. And that's the exact same thing that we just read about where Jesus said to the Pharisees and Sadducees and those guys, you search the Scriptures. You know what? They were so concerned about labels, they weren't going after the experience of Christ. They were so concerned about who they were. And God isn't interested in who we are. He knows what we are. Amen? He's interested that we have a relationship with Him. Let Him fulfill your office. Don't label yourself. Amen. Okay, let's go on. Oh, to God be the glory. So they were building knowledge upon knowledge, weren't they? Knowledge upon knowledge and no experience. And it brought them into bondage. They were missing God, and He was standing right in front of them. Praise God. Is everybody all right? Glory to God. Psalm 145. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 17. Lord is righteous in all His what? You know what happens when we have an experience and we get it, and we get the revelation of the experience, we want to walk in His ways. Gracious in all His works. The Lord is what? Near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in what?
Truth.
He will fulfill the desire of those who what?
Hear.
Or reverence Him. He will also hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who what? But all the wicked He will what? Destroy. Praise God. The Lord is near to all those that call on Him in truth. In truth. Experiences manifest truth in your life. Psalm 73. Oh, to God be the glory. In verse, let's see here. Oh, verse 27. Psalm 73, verse 27. Everybody there? Let's read it. For indeed those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. Let me tell you something. Experiences bring trust in Him too. You know? Brings trust in Him. No matter what it is. The problem is we miss God's experience sometimes because we are not trusting Him. We miss what God's trying to do because we're not trusting Him. We're still trusting in our own strength. Acts 17. A couple more scriptures and we're done. Hallelujah. Experiencing God. Open our eyes to all the experiences, Lord. Open our eyes. And I'm not saying that you can't experience God in a revelation through His Word. Do you understand that? Sure you can. But if you're seeking the Word before you're seeking in the Spirit, you most likely won't get a revelation. Hallelujah. In Acts 17. But God is merciful. In verse 26. And He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and what?
Find
Him, though He is not far from each of us. So He's not far from each of us, is He? For in Him we what? Live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are all His offspring. So if we live and move and have our being in Him, He's right here. He's right here. The thing is we're missing the experience because we're looking everywhere else. We're waiting for lightning bolts and thunders and earthquakes. We want our bed to shake and say, "Hi, I'm God." Believe me, if your bed shakes and says, "Hi, I'm God," you better cast that thing out of there. Praise God. You know, I hear a lot of people who have all of these things, but they don't change. Lets me know that those things are just imaginary. Because experiences with God change you. There's a lot of granolas. We call those nutty and fruity. But they're not changing. But if you begin to acknowledge and experience experiences, you're changing. Now, you may not be changing the way you want to change, but God is changing you. Because experiences change us. One of the major things is they cause us to have a desire for an experience. Does everybody get it? Romans 16. Now you got to understand that some experiences are personally for you. Personally for you. You know, I shared a story with someone, I forgot who it was, maybe the other day or whatever, and about how I lost my dog and I was very devastated because she was there when I had my encounter with the Lord and everything. And there was it was a thing because she was Kate's, my wife's, dog and so forth, and we were divorced and then remarried and so forth. Anyways, what had happened was the Lord allowed the dog to stay alive long enough and beyond what I asked. And when it was time to put the dog away because she was ill, I couldn't take it. I mean, this dog was, when I was out using drugs and whatever, she was my only buddy. You know, and then when I had my encounter with the Lord, she was my demon fighter. Because she was there when that demon, that serpent manifested, and she went after it. She went after that serpent that came out of me that manifested in the natural. And so when it was time to put her to sleep, Kate and I went to the vet. I couldn't take it. I had to leave the room. I mean, I had never cried so much in my life besides when I repented. I mean, I couldn't take it. I was devastated for days. I couldn't understand why this was, but it was killing me. And I went to church with Mom, and I was sitting there, and I heard this voice say to me, "Guy." And I looked, and there I saw the Lord. And next to the Lord was my dog. And I was totally freed instantly. Totally freed. I'm telling you, before God Almighty, I never hurt again after that. Why? Because I experienced God who freed me. I was sitting right next to Mom. And, you know, and we went in that church. My head was bouncing off my feet. And I was just still devastated. This was just days afterwards. And I just couldn't shake it. And when I heard this voice call me, and I looked, and there was the Lord. And I was in the Spirit. I saw Him in the Spirit, and He was standing there. And my dog was standing right next to Him, sitting beautiful. And He had His arm down around her. And I was totally freed because of the experience. See, those experiences will bring you freedom. True experiences. Those are personal experiences for you that will bring you freedom and bring you encouragement. And you know what? Others aren't going to understand it all. But you know what's going to happen? You're going to find that something changed you. And you haven't got to prove that something changed you because it's between you and God. Amen? Hallelujah. Romans 16 and verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Believe me, when you're having experiences with God, you are obedient. And it becomes known to all in how you walk. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now I want to end with Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Simple teaching of encouragement. In verse 16. Matthew 28 and verse 16. Hallelujah. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. Jesus appointed a mountain for them. Praise God. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make what?
Disciples
of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And to him be all the glory.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for your encouragement. Lord, thank you for allowing us to experience you in so many ways. And so many things that you do, even the things that we don't even see you do. We're experiencing you because we live and have our being in you. Holy Father, we commit all things to you, and we look forward to more experiences. And thank you for the ones that you've given us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen. Amen.